Today on Real Radio.
For that matter, according to the Bible, we know that Satan targets youth all around the world. How do you control the future? By going after the youth. Who says so? People like Karl Marx, Fidel Castro, Adolf Hitler, the Communist Party and movement, the cults, Satan. If you can convert the youth over to an ideology, into a mindset, if you can, I know this would never happen in America, but if you could storm the school campuses of America and teach liberalism as an indoctrination and various religious cults as the truth and revise history and change the meaning of words, sound familiar, everybody? If you can control the young populace, then you control the future.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible. It's a topical series that explores those passages of scriptural wisdom that guide us believers in practical and godly living. Now, what we're about to hear is part of this series called Being a Christian While Being a Kid. And you can define kid however you wish, but whoever you are, you'll undoubtedly find it to be quite valuable. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And you say, well, Jack, how can you deliver that message tonight? Well, I once was a kid. Lisa will tell you I still am a kid, locked in an adult body. But tonight is a message that I will in some ways fumble through because I am an old guy. But if you're thinking tonight, what does this topic at church have to do with me as we look through this the Life and Bible series, Being a Kid? Well, guess what? Even though you may be here tonight and maybe you're not of a kid age, or maybe you don't have kids, you might be tempted to think there's nothing in the message for me this evening, but I think you ought to stay tuned and listen, because much of our childhood upbringing, and those young kids that are in here tonight listening, the things that are forming their lives, the things that have formed our lives, still have a bearing on us today. And so tonight we might do well to pay attention to what the Lord says in the scriptures about young people. Because truly, no matter what your age might be tonight, you can benefit greatly. Maybe tonight God will show us some things, those of us who are older, about how we got to be where we're at tonight, and how tonight with the young people perhaps listening in, that it might be something that could be used for them to steer themselves in the right direction as they follow the Lord, and also maybe overcome some things, and of course also be able to avert some things in life that maybe some of us didn't have the leadership or the example for. Before we get into this message tonight, I want to share something personal. I remember having no gospel Bible upbringing at all in my life. I remember being in school. I remember being in junior high and getting invited to parties and hearing language and seeing things that I knew was not right. I had no moral rudder. There was no rules laid down in my home or at school in some particular manner. I just knew that when I heard those things and saw that stuff, it was wrong. If you were to ask me to define it, I couldn't tell you. I just knew inside that's wrong. And, you know, when I heard, oh, hey guys, this girl over there, you see that girl? When I heard that, I was appalled. I now know it was the Holy Spirit warning me in life. In high school, I remember, I was an absolute, I don't know what word to use.
Yes.
Not a mess. I was on my way to being a mess. I was a misfit galore because I stuttered so bad, for one thing. The second thing was I really, really loved football. And I'm not that big of a guy. In high school, I weighed about 217, 220. And I wasn't fat. I was pretty healthy. Wasn't big compared to our football team. Huge. Four of them went on to play pro ball. They were giants. But I could hold my own. And because I didn't know Jesus, and because I was angry because people made so much fun of me stuttering, I really had a lot of pent-up aggression, and so I took it out on the football field. It was awesome, and I could really do some damage. In one season, I had hit three guys and busted three of their football helmets on the field. I was very proud of that, and it warranted a look into my life from Long Beach State, so I was very, very proud of that. But I was very, very angry. But I didn't know how to function and in this manner that I knew, had a deep sense of what was right and wrong. And when I was invited to parties because I became captain of the football team and all the stuff that was going on, I was supposed to blend in and be part of the tribe, you know, part of the group. But I didn't like what they were doing. I never did drugs, for the record. I never did any drugs. Drugs scared me, and I was too much in love with taking care of my body, so I didn't do drugs, but all my friends did drugs, so I took care of them at parties. The second thing is, I wasn't big on drinking because I didn't like the sense of being out of control, and besides, when I did get drunk in those years, I went very, very violent, and so I realized I'm not going to go that route. So I wound up being the guy that drove people home. I wound up being the guy cleaning people up. I wound up being the kind of the monitor at the parties. And I remember holding a can of beer. And to blend in, I poured milk into the beer. Not into the beer, but into the beer can, and stood there and deceived people that I was cool. I'm cool like everybody else. And you do things out of desperation to just blend in. But I never really fit in. And I couldn't wait to get out of school for a lot of reasons. But one of them was that, I stuttered terribly. And I just didn't feel like that kind of lifestyle. It was all about partying in Orange County. That lifestyle was the one I was to live. I just couldn't do that. And so I want you to know that from early on, I missed my childhood because I had a great childhood. When I was a kid, I had fun as a kid. We jumped off of roofs. We played army. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about. Now you do it video. We really had guns. We really goofed off. We really had a great time. We would ride our bicycles to the beach. We would go in storm drains and collect goldfish. We could stay out all night, and there was no muggers and robbers and thieves and molesters. It was a great life. And I longed for those days in a way. But then some of you oldies, listen up, some of you younger ones. Would you, older friends of mine, would you live your life over today now in this culture? No way. No way. It was easier to be a kid 150 years ago when I was young. I wouldn't want to be a kid now, yet that breaks my heart because of where the kids are at today. They've got to live a life that's far different than what you and I ever lived. So the truth is, that you and I need to pay close attention no matter what age we might be tonight. Because listen, everything that you and I are experiencing or have experienced must be brought under the control of you and I as believers maturing in Jesus Christ. No matter what we talk about tonight, there is nothing that God cannot overcome. Nothing. Don't come crying to me later, oh, but Pastor, you don't know my troubles. Oh, my troubles, you don't know. Listen, I've got troubles that I can't even tell you about in my life growing up that I will never speak publicly about. And I'll just say this. God is greater than all of our troubles. No matter what your age might be, the Lord is greater, He is stronger, and He's able to overcome all those things. And so what we experience as kids, keep in mind, shapes the adult that we come into. The great thing is, we could either tonight say, oh my goodness, that's why I'm so messed up. I had a horrible upbringing. Maybe. You could have a Cinderella upbringing and be so messed up. You can have an upbringing that was so terrible, but now you are really stellar and walking with God in a powerful way. Or you could have had a tremendous upbringing and you're so far from God, you don't even know who He is right now. See, the point is, it doesn't matter unless you decide today to give whatever you've got to Christ. It doesn't matter what excuses we can offer up. Nothing is as powerful or more powerful than God's ability to correct our lives. He loves to change our lives. It's what he does. If he had a hobby, it would be restoring people. That's what he does. So Colossians chapter 1 applies even to the kids. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness and conveyed us, imparted us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so this is a very important thing. So everybody listen up, specifically the young people tonight. I want to say this as we get into this message tonight. There is a keen reason why everybody is after our youth. America's youth is a target. For that matter, according to the Bible, we know that Satan targets youth all around the world. How do you control the future? By going after the youth. Who says so? People like Karl Marx, Fidel Castro, Adolf Hitler, the Communist Party and movement, the cults, Satan. If you can convert the youth over to an ideology, into a mindset, if you can, I know this would never happen in America, but if you could storm the school campuses of America and teach liberalism as an indoctrination and various religious cults as the truth, and revise history and change the meaning of words. Sound familiar, everybody? If you can control the young populace, then you control the future. And God help the church in the world today. God help the church in America. God help this church and every church to reach the young people today like never before. Young people, according to George Barna, from the age of 18 to 30 years of age, over 80% of them that leave high school, and enter college and then into the early years of their careers, over 80% of them wind up denouncing Christ and adopting some other form of a spiritual life. That's tragic and should never happen. It's because the church has been asleep at an hour like this. Young people are extremely valuable in the sight of God. Isaiah 49:5 says that it is the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant. Young people today, you need to hear something. In fact, hear it from my lips only because I'm quoting the Bible. But even our government wants you to be enlisted in a young service or servant corps for humanitarian reasons. That's a great thing, by the way, and that's a wonderful thing. But listen, you can do all those things and never be fulfilled and never come to the understanding that it is God who's engineered you and I to be a servant, and specifically a servant of his. You can join the Peace Corps. You can join all these other things. And the truth of the matter is you might be able to build a concrete wall somewhere in the world. That's great. But if the church mobilized with its youth, it could change the world right where we're standing, our campuses and beyond. In fact, I believe that if young kids got hot for Jesus, that they could change their parents. I've seen that happen. I think parents need some kids that are fired up for God. Maybe the parents would follow their kids into the kingdom of God. But let's remember that God appointed many a young people in the Bible to incredible places of influence and power. Many of Israel's kings were appointed by God at a young age. Josiah, among others, were young kings. Let us remember that prophets like Jeremiah and Daniel, John the Baptist, and others were called and mightily used by God at a very young age. Young people. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit, faith, and in purity. Young people. That's an awesome thing to keep in mind. Point number one tonight, mark it down as we go through this. Being a Christian in this world while being a kid. Number one, it's this, what being a kid means. And when it comes to being a kid or a teen, God's design for young people has never changed because your design has never changed. God's word anticipates everything, young people, even the culture that you and I are in. God anticipated the internet. He anticipated text messaging. He anticipated Xbox. He anticipated all that stuff. He knew that. Your design, your creation, your purpose hasn't changed. Huge portions of scripture speak directly to children and teens and young adults. Matthew 19, 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." That's awesome. Think about it. Young people are so excited to hang around with. And by the way, the younger they are, the more exciting they are to be around, because for one reason, Jesus said it. By the way, he said, unless we become like children, we will not enter the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean we potty in our pants and drool and spit up things and eat bugs. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you and I being as faith-filled as young people are. The part that breaks my heart today in this young culture that we're seeing brought up, we're seeing kids broken. Their dreams have been dashed. Their families are busted. They have seen everything under the sun that most of you who are much older have never seen. Maybe it was morality. Maybe it was your Christian upbringing. You've never seen the things that young Christians have to contend with today by virtue of the fact of what the internet or what text messaging or image sending can bring to them today. It's horrible. It's a terrible time to be a kid. They need a garden to stand it around them like never before. And where are their parents? Where are these guardians of their souls and of their protection and all? So many kids are latchkey children. Well, mom and dad are trying to make ends meet. I don't know what the answer to that is. Maybe we got in too deep. Maybe the house is too big. Too many cars. I don't know. But kids need parents. We talked about that last week. But I thank God that the Lord is desiring to move in the lives of young people. In Job chapter 21, verse 11, Job 21, 11, it says, "They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance." Listen to God's heart on this. "They sing to the tambourine and harp and rejoice to the sound of the flutes." To be a kid again. There is to be a good balance for every kid that's growing up in the church, every kid that has a Christian home, to both work, to play, but mostly play. Kids need that area of being responsible. Kids need to learn how to take out the trash. You young guys and gals, you need to learn how to do that stuff. You got to be kidding me. Well, how much am I going to get for this? No, listen. Honestly, look, here's the cool part. I'm not your parent. I can tell you this. Your parents aren't paying me to say this. Here's the fun part. I've gone through all that stuff. And I can tell you now, and I'm going to see some heads nod in a moment. All the stuff that I thought stunk as a young person, I thought, this should be illegal. I'm very grateful now that I went through those things because it made me a better person in this life that now that I'm older. Discipline. Listen, kids, listen. When was the last time you heard someone tell you, just persevere through it? Persevere. But it hurts. Keep going. I'm tired. Push on. We don't even talk like that to our kids anymore. Why? Well, we might upset them. It's terrible. How did a generation of young people grow up to be those who would manufacture, design, manufacture, and catapult a spaceship into space with a man in it? What generation was it that went to school and persevered and fought through it and did all that stuff to create the internet or to create Microsoft or to create Apple Computer? When those guys, because they loved what they were doing, Steve Jobs and those guys would not stop working because they loved what they did so much, and their parents encouraged them, just keep going then if that's what you'd like to do. And what they liked to do was create Microsoft and Apple Computer. Think about that kind of stuff. Kids need to be instructed and brought to that place of, you know what? Work is good. Commitment is good. Faithfulness to something from the earliest ages will translate into a meaningful life. But what does it mean to be a kid? Sometimes it means work, and most of the time, I hope, it means a lot of fun. It's too bad when children grow up too quick in America. Kids have to get responsible too fast. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says, in Israel, by the way, and this would be true because it's God's heart anywhere, that the streets of the city shall be filled with boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of his people in those days. That verse in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 speaks about in the last days when Israel is brought back as a nation, just before his return, the kids will be playing in the streets. By the way, read Zechariah chapter 8 later. It talks about old Jewish people growing older, sitting in the streets, watching the children play right before the Lord comes in his great coming. A child, a kid, a young person must be allowed to play for realsies in this life. Work, yes, but parents, we need to make sure that our kids are having fun. This world is too serious, it's too heavy. Everything is about economy and money and terrorism and difficulty and all this stuff. But look, when a kid has worked hard at achieving a grade or mowing the lawn or whatever it is, then listen, when you reward them, it tells them something that, you know what, now I can take from my hard work, I can take from the fruit of my labor and go have some fun. I'm going to stop the ice cream truck and get me whatever they sell on the ice cream truck these days. But this is important. What does it mean to be a kid these days? And I know this is going to sound almost sinful, what I'm about to say. It's not having necessarily a day off from school or from work, and you sit there in front of your laptop for 9 hours. And you know, we know you've spent too much time there when your jaw kind of goes like this, and your eyes are glazed over, and you're going, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Have you guys ever seen yourself when you're doing that? And parents too, have you ever been in front of the computer too long? And you look like you're just like, all the life's been sucked out of you. You actually need to go out and do something. We need to remember that as kids, what it means to be a kid is to be creative, is to be dynamic, it's to be exercising. Number two, what about my family as a kid? The family. The Bible defines what a family is. The Bible defines the family as a father or as a father and mother or as a father or a mother. Could be a broken home or a widowed home where the kids have one parent. It could be a child or children, but it's a family. When a couple comes together and they produce children officially according to the definition, it's a family. I know that we want to have the idea that, well, you know, it's Lisa and I and a Yorkshire Terrier, that's our family now. That's not our family. That's a dog. But God says this is what a family is. And why is that important? Because a family is where children learn how to become adults. It's how they learn how to be citizens. It's how they learn how to be servants. It's how they learn how to be people.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, sharing practical and biblical wisdom in a presentation called Being a Christian While Being a Kid, part of a greater series we're presenting here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, what we heard on today's broadcast serves as an example of what you'll hear throughout the series. Life and the Bible is now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. And some of the titles in this series, Being a Christian While Being a Husband, Being a Christian While Being a Wife, Being a Man, Being a Woman at Your Job, and so forth. You can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more about the series, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you'll also be able to click the graphic that tells you more about our television outreach called Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is seen on television and the internet, and we invite you to check that out as well. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us and purchase the series. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.